The forest has become their homes because there they obtained Krishna's association. Their homes became like an empty wilderness because Krishna was not there. Their rivals for Krishna's affection became actually friends because with their help, they are able to meet Krishna. The husbands and children act as enemies by preventing them from going to Krishna. Their love for Krishna is so potent that it even transforms poisonous substances into the most palatable nectar. For those who are eager to die in the torment of separation, moreover, poison becomes attractive. Nectarian things like the light of the moon, sandalwood paste, and nice foodstuffs become like poison for the gopis because such personal sense gratification stands in the way of their association with Krishna. And when they are suffering separation from him, the pleasure of their lives appears miserable. Why pure love for Krishna affects the gopis in these strange ways has already been explained by Sri Narada in his instructions to Gopal Kumar. The gopis continue. How will it be long before we die if we cannot see anywhere your beautiful smiling face, your all-attractive lotus feet, and your chest adorned with all marks of auspiciousness? Commentary. This goes on for some time. If I recall, we started at text 260-something, and now we're text 290-something, and it goes on to text 340-something. So we're not going to be able to finish this section. So pretty soon I'm going to have to wind up. So the gopis are appealing to Krishna to not go. This is the gopis' answer to Krishna's suggestion that until I return from satisfying my well-wishers in Mathura, who have no other goal in life but me, you can keep yourselves happy by hearing, chanting, and remembering my glories. If they cannot see Krishna's face, either in his home or in the forest, for any length of time, certainly they will die. Krishna may also try to give the excuse, well, if my friends in Mathura are made unhappy because of me, that will go bad against my reputation. Gopis reply, we do not care what reason you have. Gopis respond, if you leave us, we will die very soon. They continued, with difficulty we manage to pass our days, even after you go off with your friends to the Vrindavan forest, eager to enjoy your cowherd pastimes, we hold on to the hope that certainly he will return in the evening. Commentary, the most pain the gopis can tolerate is a few hours of separation from Krishna. If an evening ever passed without his coming home from the forest, however, their lives would certainly be finished. Gopis continue, but when you go so far away to the city in order, on the order of wicked Kamsa, and associate with his friends, how will we be able to live? We will be disturbed by various worries about what could happen to you and by thoughts of the pain you will suffer while away from home. Commentary, Krishna can claim to be very powerful, and he showed, as he showed when he subdued Kaliya. So maybe he can take care of himself in the big city, but still, he is bound to feel homesick. The gopis cannot bear to think of Krishna's suffering in that way or in any way. They continue, we cannot imagine how much terrible it will be for you to kill Kamsa and his associates, and how much time it might take to eradicate the unhappiness of the residents of that place. Nor do we know whether you will remember us or not. Commentary. My dear cows, cowherd boy companions. I'm sure this needs editing, but here's what it says. My dear cows, cowherd boy companions and father will be coming with me to Mathura. It's probably my dear gopis, the cows, cowherd boy companions, and my father will be coming with me to Mathura, so I should not be too homesick. Still, the gopis answer, there are other reasons for their distress. Even if killing Kamsa and many other demons is merely play for Krishna, it will take a long time for him to satisfy the desires of all his devotees there. Krishna replies to that doubt, but I will remember you, my dear girlfriends, and thus I will not be able to stay away very long. They reply, no, we are not so sure you will even remember us. I've got an advanced thing here, and this is not edited yet. It obviously needs some editing. Sri Sarup said, thus the gopis uttered many pitiful laments, which made everyone present cry and become bewildered. Somehow or other, the Supreme Lord steadied himself, washing the tears from his own eyes and the eyes of the gopis. He spoke as follows with a choked voice. The Blessed Personality of Godhead said, for certain my enemy Kamsa is not very strong. I will dispose of him without any effort. Consider me practically returned to you already. Dear companions, please do not create bad luck by crying. Oh, that's a good one. Sri Sarup said, then Nanda and the other cowherds, including Rohini and Sri Yashoda, and everyone else, even the animals, all ran with haste to that spot. Commentary. Everyone came to where Krishna had been hiding with the gopis, including all of Nanda Maharaja's whole household, his priests, men servants and maid servants, and the cows, and the buffaloes, and other village animals. Lord Hari and his elder brother mounted the chariot which Akura brought quickly. With great effort, Krishna withdrew his fixed glance from the gopis. Remember, we saw the spot where Akura departed from the roof yesterday. When Mother Yasoda saw the sobbing gopis overcome with ecstasy and fainting, falling to the ground and becoming covered with dust, she also began to cry pitifully. Nanda Maharaj, with great effort, consoled Yashoda, even though he was also very unhappy within himself. He showed expertise in taking care of the business at hand. Sri Nanda said, do not think that I'm going to the city happily, or that I will ever accept that Krishna is someone else's son. Do not think I will leave him in the city for any reason and come home alone, or that I will lose my intelligence and allow him to remain there very long. Commentary. Nanda is hardly eager to take Krishna to Mathura just for sightseeing. Mathura may be a great city because it is the home of intimate friends like Vasudev, but Nanda's real reason for going is that Kamsa has ordered it. This is hardly a cause for delight. Mathura may be the home of the Yadus, but as long as Kamsa rules in Mathura, it will not be a pleasant place to visit. Akura may have said that Krishna is Vasudeva's son, but he is a liar. As far as Nanda is concerned, Krishna will never transfer his affection to anyone else. Vasudeva and the Yadus may try to keep Krishna and Mathura by force, but Nanda will never return to Vrindavan without him. Krishna may be crowned king after killing Kamsa, and may want to stay there to enjoy the kingdom, but Nanda will never allow this. I doubt, so I guess this is Nanda still speaking, I doubt we or all the Brajavasis can live for a moment without your son. Therefore you can assume I will come back with your son very quickly, as soon as we free Devaki and Shurasena's son. Sri Sarup said, thus thoroughly assured by Nanda, with solemn vows, Mother Jasoda became more or less peaceful. She made a considerable effort to console the gopis. Endeavoring to pacify them in various ways, she induced them to get up from the ground. Then the cowherd men got on their carts, and Akura started the chariot. Yashoda sprinkled water on the gopis, somehow brought them to their senses. The women of Braj could not tolerate being separated from Krishna at all. As they watched him depart, cries of "Alas! Alas!" were heard. The ladies' faces dried up, their steps faltered, and they sobbed pitifully in great pain, in long, drawn-out tones, with their voices choking in their throats. They ran behind the chariot, their cries filling all directions. Some of them took hold of the chariot, some fell down with force beneath its wheels, some fainted, and others could not move forward. Birds wandered in the sky above Krishna, making a disturbed noise of confusion. The leaves of all the plants suddenly dried up. Stones and trees fell from the tall mountains. The rivers shrank, leaving dry the creatures living within them, and reversed their currents. Commentary, Govardhan and other mountains threw down trees and large stones. The rivers dried up, stranding their fish at vegetation on dry land and began to flow upstream. Seeing the condition of all of his most beloved devotees, Krishna felt pain and sorrow in his heart. He was not only unable to stop their wild crying, but was also busy wiping a flood of tears from his own eyes. The elder Rishni Akura feared that Kamsa might, as Krishna, might jump down from the chariot and again go off somewhere. He supported the Lord from behind, affectionately concerned that he might faint or fall down. Commentary, Akura had acquired a good deal of practical intelligence from his long years of service in the Vrishni rulers. He did everything he could to assure nothing went wrong now that he finally was on his way to Mathura with Krishna. He made a show of holding Krishna to protect him from falling, but the fact was that he wanted to prevent him from escaping again. Noticing that Krishna was indeed about to faint, Akura took permission from Balaram, Nanda and the others, and quickly made the chariot's horses start with cracks from his whip, avoiding the fallen cowherd women and animals by making zigzag movements. Akura drove the chariot away. As the gopis looked on, crying portentously like kurari birds, Akura drove off with Krishna like an eagle carrying a piece of flesh. Commentary. Akura seemed to take Krishna away as swiftly as an eagle with its prey, and just as cruelly. He drove the horses with such extreme speed that no one can tell where he had gone. Commentary. The horses were well-trained, faithful followers of Kamsa. The cowherd men, headed by Nanda, all mounted their own carts yoked with large bulls and swiftly followed Akura. Akura brought Krishna to Lord Brahma's lake. He offered many different prayers to him and counseled him with logical arguments. Then he brought Krishna, including the killing of Kamsa. Translation. How the people of Vraja suffered afterwards is too painful to hear. Alas, alas, even lightning bolts shatter when such topics are narrated. Therefore, I think I have said enough. Commentary. Those who hear about the misery of the Vrajavasis after Krishna left them will contract the same misery. Therefore, this topic is best left undiscussed amongst those who are not prepared to suffer. Sri Parikshit said, now it's Parikshit is narrating the story to his mother about the Brahmana, and then the Brahmana meeting Gopakumar, and Gopakumar becoming Sarup, and Sarup narrating to the Brahmana. Now it's back to Parikshit narrating to his mother. Sri Parikshit said, dear mother, upon saying this, Sarup began loudly crying with anxiety in a plaintive voice. Overwhelmed by the ecstasy of pure love, Sarup fainted. The excellent Brahmana of Mathura was disturbed. Calling out to Sarup, he brought him back to normal with some endeavor after a moment, and Sarup continued speaking. Sarup said, Krishna went to Madhupuri where he pleased all the residents. He killed Kamsa and his followers and delivered his parents. Commentary, to avoid the risk of losing control of himself again, Sri Sarup changed the topic. When he first entered Mathura, Krishna favored many of its residents, including the tailor, whom he killed, and the garland maker, whom he blessed. Translation, he anointed Kamsa's father, Ugrasena, as king, brought the Yadavas back from various directions, and consoled the city's residents. The Yadus had no other goal of life besides Krishna. They had suffered greatly and were terrified of the kings favored by Kamsa. Out of concern for them, the Lord, who is always compassionate to his devotees, remained with them along with his elder brother to satisfy his devotees in Gokula. He sent back Nanda and the other cowherd men so they could pacify the devotees there. Commentary. Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. He feels obliged to take care of everyone who takes exclusive shelter of him. Because Kamsa's Kamsa hated the Yadus, they had suffered terrible persecution under his rule. Kamsa was now dead, but powerful friends of his, like Jarasandha, still remained. They could attack Mathura at any time. So Kamsa, Krishna, is reasoning with his father. Father, you should go, you should first go home right away with the cowherd men before any of the residents die in our absence. Commentary. Krishna cleverly argued that if Nanda Maharaj returned home, the Vrajavasis could be pacified at least enough to keep them alive. I will soon arrange for the happiness of these well-wishers of yours in Mathura, whose hearts are so disturbed. Then I will come back to Vraja. Commentary. Nanda should not doubt that Krishna will return home as soon as possible, since Vraja is where Krishna's heart lies. Sri Nanda said, no. I came here after promising the Vrajavasis that I would never believe you are someone else's son or could abandon such friends as them to live anywhere else. Therefore, please save us. Save us. Do not ever, ever send us away from you. Oh, wherever you might go by your sweet will, there we will also go in your company. Only because of the hope I gave them, the Vrajavasis, along with your mother, are still breathing. If I become so hard-hearted as to go there without you, they will certainly die on the spot. Commentary. Everyone in Vraja trusted Nanda's words that he would not come back without Krishna. To violate that word would be certain death for all of them. Nanda is desperate to change Krishna's mind, to reawaken Krishna's family sentiments. He tries to evoke recollection of his poor mother and reverses roles by calling him father. So, that is how it's translated. Sridhar said, when you are exhibiting your glories by grazing the cows in the pastures, O Lord, we cannot bear to live for a moment, to live for the moment you are hiding from us behind trees and creepers. How then can we possibly remain in such a condition for a long time? Sarup said, hearing this, these complaints from his devotees, the Lord stood silent. The son of Shurasena was afraid that he might decide to go to Vrindavan, and so he spoke up. It's the son of Shurasena is Ugrasena. After Kamsa was killed, so he installed Ugrasena. Oh, no, this is Vasudev. Vasudev spoke. My brother Nanda, of course your son and his elder brother can only be happy in all regards living there in Vraja. Anywhere else, he will simply suffer distress. Now, however, is the time for them to take initiation. They should become brahmacharis and go somewhere else to study. After this, they can return to Vraja. Commentary. As the Dharma Shastras prescribed, sons of Vaishyas should undergo the Upanayana Sanskar at the age of 11. Balaram and Krishna, Vasudev suggests, are no exception. They should be sent away to the Gurukula of a learned Brahmana to study the Vedas, not remain at home with their parents, either in Mathura or Vrindavan. Until the Upanayana ceremony is arranged, Vasudev can keep Balaram and Krishna safely with himself, and they can finish their business in Mathura. Sri Sarup said, seeing that Krishna agreed with Vasudeva's words and disagreed with his own, Nanda took his leave crying in distress. commentary, Nanda, was willing to leave only because he was confident that Krishna could not stay away from home without his father. Surely Krishna would decide at the last minute to come back with him to Braja. We'll just read a few more and this ends this section. Following the king of the cowherds, along with the members of the Yadava dynasty, Lord Krishna cried very loudly. The cowherd men also cried, and one after another they embraced Krishna's neck. Vasudeva and the other intelligent Yadavas saw that Krishna was upset and he wanted to leave. They prevented him from going by presenting various arguments. Commentary. It seemed Nanda was right. Krishna wanted to go home with him. But the Yadavas implored Krishna that he was needed in Mathura to save them from great catastrophes, not the least of which was the threat of invasion by Jarasandha. They would not relent with presenting reasons until Krishna agreed to stay. Continuing, obeying Krishna's desire, all the cowherd men, headed by Nanda, returned to Braja. When they heard of Nanda's arrival, everyone living in Braja happily came out to greet him until they found out that Krishna wasn't there. The commentary, the cowherds took the unimaginable step of going home without Krishna only because Krishna asked them to. Krishna's desire was that the only force that could make them move. The carts even went down the road by their own force without being driven because of Krishna's desire. The devotees remaining in Braja also lived only according to Krishna's desire. Therefore, they greeted Nanda joyfully, assuming Krishna was with him. Nanda, however, was overcome with sorrow and shame. Covering his face with his cloth, he went to his home crying and lied down on the ground, supremely unhappy. Commentary, Nanda had good reason to feel sad because now he was without Krishna, and good reason to be ashamed because he had broken his promise not to return without him. Continuing, not seeing their Lord, I think it's just a few more verses. The Brajavasis were beside themselves with mental distress. They had no idea what they should do and were disturbed by numerous anxieties for the future. Their faces dried up. They heard no news about their Lord from the elder of the cowherds, but could bring themselves to ask. Commentary. Since no one told the Brajavasis that Kamsa was dead, they were still afraid of what he might do to Krishna. Nanda said nothing to them about what happened to Krishna in Mathura, and they feared what might be told if they asked Nanda for news. Krishna's mother and the other women cried out loud, most painfully, with exclamations of, there's six, alas, 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 oh alas, oh alas. How can I speak about this? Sri Sarup saying. Maharaj Parikshit said, dear mother, that best of young cowherd Sarup then became very confused. His heart burned in the fire of sorrow due to his contemplation of what occurred in Braja. The first class Brahmana, Janasharma, did whatever he could to restore Sarup or Gopukumar to a somewhat normal condition. Afraid to again become bewildered like this, Sarup did not describe this topic any further, in any further detail. Commentary. The Mathura Brahman called out to his guru, touched his feet, and sprinkled him with water just to bring him back to the external world. Seeing the Mathura Brahmana eager to hear the end of the story, however, kind-hearted Sarup said something more, trying to keep himself under control. Commentary. Because Sarup's disciple had a strong desire to hear, Sarup felt it his duty to be compassionate. The Brahmana should be helped in his spiritual advancement, even at the cost of his own well-being. Well, I don't know how far this goes. We're okay, should I continue? Anyone's falling asleep or... It's 6:30. Continuing. Krishna is the crest jewel of all clever heroes. Agitated by compassion for the residents of Vraja, he gave them back their lives by enjoying with them enough that they completely forgot their misery. Commentary. Krishna made sure that the Vrajavasis forgot every last thought that caused them anguish. The memories of how Akura came to Vraja, how Sri Krishna went away to Mathura, and so on. He took this trouble for two reasons. Because he is Vidagda, Mordhanya, Manihi, that is the cleverest performer of valorous deeds, and because he is Kripa Kula, or disturbed by the compassion for his suffering devotees. If one of them ever remembered this suffering, that Vrajavasi would say, I saw something horrible, unprecedented thing in my sleep, and would lament bitterly, crying out of fear. Commentary. The Vrajavasis could not imagine, even in their dreams at night, that Krishna would actually leave them and go somewhere else. The mere thought of this improbability sent them into a panic. Thus, they manifested another aspect of their ecstatic love for Krishna. Continuing. By experiencing such a fullness of Krishna's sweet cowherd pastimes, the Vrajavasi's senses were totally attracted and enchanted. They could not remember anything from the past, nor were they aware of the future. So it starts up another thing. Akura came another time to Vrindavan on his chariot, as if he had never come there before. Part 2. So, I think I'm going to break here. There are different aspects to the moon of separation, and the Kaliya serpent shows one, and that's the pathos part. Then the fight with Aristasura and Keshi, just it's just chivalry, and now this is just devastation. This is the Kura's second visit. The same Akura appeared once more, again on the order of Kamsa to bring Krishna to Mathura. Because everyone, including Akura, was under the bewildering influence of the Gokula atmosphere, no one remembered that this was not the first time Akura arrived in Vrindavan. Translation, in the same way, he once again took away the life of Raja and the residents, as before, and the residents as before attained the same state. Krishna again went to Madhupuri, he killed Kamsa and returned to Braja, where, as previously, he continued to enjoy his pastimes. Thus Krishna again and again goes to Kamsa's city, as he did before, and again he comes to Braja and enjoys his sports there. Similarly, Krishna again and again subdues Kaliya, and similarly, he repeatedly lifts Govardhan Hill, also performing other varied pastimes of his over and over again. The Lord thus attracts the minds of his devotees. In a short commentary, Krishna, since all of Krishna's different pastimes beginning with the killing of Putana are eternal, Krishna enjoys them with his devotees in Goloka as often as they like to. Every time a pastime is repeated, moreover, it seems completely new, as if it never had been seen or heard before. Some persons who hear this description may become confused, wondering how Krishna can replay pastimes he has already performed, and how demons like Putana can be engaged in these pastimes repeatedly. Krishna's pastimes, however, are transcendental. They are very attractive to his devotees, both his eternal devotees and those who are newly converted to pure devotional service. Even newly elevated devotees feel extraordinary love for the Supreme Person when they hear and remember his pastimes. The loving attraction these pastimes generate fixes memory of the pastimes indelibly in the devotees' hearts. Then, meditation on the pastimes gives rise to a very special happiness. Thus, Krishna's pastimes steal the hearts of even the neophyte devotees, and Krishna's eternal devotees experience a level of sweetness and wonder unknown by anyone else. So, just a few, it's hard to end in any place. The residents of Braja, however, this is now Sri Sarup's explanation of how their reruns of Krishna's pastimes. The residents of Braj, however, always think that each of these events has never occurred before. They are completely bewildered by the Kalakuta poison of their extreme love for Krishna. Commentary. The Vrajavasi's attraction to Krishna's activities is never hampered by awareness that they are repeat performances. The topmost varieties of Krishna Prema have the power to create this confusion. Continuing. Consequently, the powerful force of their obsessive love simply increases more and more in both his association and his separation. Certainly this is true of the eternal residents of Braja, yet even newcomers like myself have no remembrance of these events. Commentary. In pure devotional service, in pure devotional life, everyone is fully absorbed in transcendence. Some devotees, however, can be distinguished as adunika, which means recent, or nutna, meaning new, because they were conditioned souls and became reinstated in their original positions by regular practice and the Supreme Lord's personal grace. So we'll just end with this next verse. How can any of them not forget in this way. After all, they are constantly submerged in the ocean created by the currents of these rivers of most enchanting sweetness. They are being maddened, moreover, by acquiring the vast, most desirable treasure of pure love. I'm going to read two more. And, oh, the most glorious thing is that the Lord Himself, drowning in the ocean of His love for His dear devotees, cannot always remember what He has done and what He is going to do, although He is the foremost of enlightened persons. Commentary. Isn't perfect knowledge an automatic byproduct of attaining love of God? Why then are the pure devotees of Goloka so forgetful? Yes, omniscience comes unasked to one who has prema, but prema is all-powerful and can redefine what is knowledge and ignorance. The personality of God Himself also forgets His previous activities by the influence of His yoga maya. Often He forgets what He did before, but sometimes He remembers when that serves the purpose of the pastimes. So, one last. The pastimes of the Lord are eternal. They are pure. They are purely spiritual, composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Of their own accord, they become attracted to the Lord's lotus feet to engage in His service. They follow Him everywhere, supplying the suitable entourage and paraphernalia for each occasion. Okay. Commentary. I'll end. Krishna's pastimes are Sat-Chit Anandamayi, composed of Sat, Chit, and Ananda. In this context, the suffix Mayi has two possible meanings. One is identity, the other is transformation. As an expression of Krishna's internal energy, His lila is both non-different from Him and a manifestation of transcendental variety. There is never any defect in Krishna's lila, even when He seems to behave like an ordinary person. So there's a quote from Vishnu Purana, no, Bhagavatam 10th canto, then Vishnu Purana, and that's the end of our reading for this evening. 10th canto, chapter 8. The ladies complain. When Krishna is caught by his naughty activities, the master of the house will say to him, "Oh, you are a thief," and artificially express anger at Krishna. Krishna will then reply, "I am not a thief, you are a thief." Sometimes, being angry, Krishna passes urine and stool in a neat, clean place in our houses. But now, our dear friend Yashoda, this expert thief is sitting before you like a very good boy. Sometimes all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there, his eyes so fearful that his mother would not chastise him. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful face, instead of chastising him, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Mother Yashoda would mildly smile at all of this, and she would not want to chastise her blessed transcendental child. 10th canto, chapter 8. Text 31. Last, Krishna's pastimes are attracted to His feet by their desire to serve Him, as well as the service attitude of His devotees. In the words of Sri Vishnu Purana, 5:22:18, the pastimes of the Lord of the universe unfold by His sweet will, as He imitates the activities of embodied souls of the human race. end of our meeting for this evening. It took a long time, but pretty involving, and it's hard to find a place to stop. So any discussion on what we've read?
When we hear that Krishna repeatedly kills a specific demon like Kaliya, Kamsa,
he didn't kill Kaliya, but he killed Kamsa. He sent Kaliya away, but so...
Okay, but in the Krishna book, he killed
him, didn't he? He sends him away.
Okay. Arista and Keshi.
Yeah.
So when we hear...
Of course, in this pastime, he just keeps them around to ride them.
Yeah. So, all right, like in the repeated killing of Kamsa, then how are we to understand personality
comes as
a different soul playing the role of
consciousness? No idea.
Reincarnated?
No idea. Absolutely no idea.
Because we hear that the demons when they're killed by Krishna get liberation.
Yeah.
So then the, when he was playing with Arista and Keshi, riding them and keeping them for pulling carts and stuff, so we should assume that happened before he...
No, it happened after. Oh, I don't know. At least with Kamsa, it happened. He killed Kamsa, then he came back. Then he... How do you say?
It's not like he killed him. He came back and Kura took him again to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This is... It's new, and without hearing, there's no point in you.